And today there are three of us. Guys, say something. What's happening today?
Today, Road to IFAT officially kicks off. And for that, Daniel is sitting in the car, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And above all, I was just thinking, usually we only talk about football outside of work, and what does that mean? Every 2 years, after the Super Bowl, the Road to IFAT begins for us.
That's
awesome too, right? After football, it's time for IFAT.
We're pumped up, and today is the first episode of our Road to IFAT. You all must be super excited too, because now you'll get a new episode from us every week, every Tuesday, our Road to IFAT. This is our biggest trade fair. I wouldn't even call it a trade fair anymore. I'd actually call it an event now, which it really has become, right? It's like a class reunion for the industry. And we have the privilege to be part of it again as a podcast. We actually did this 2 years ago as well. It was a really great journey. And of course, we said, if it worked so well 2 years ago, then we'll do it again this year. And we've prepared some great topics for you. And of course, to kick things off, we always have the most important person for us right now. Philip, we're going to bring you in right from the start. Come on, Philip, tell us, for those who don't know you yet, who are you, what do you do, and what can we expect from you?
So first of all, hello and greetings from Munich. I'm happy to be on your podcast, and of course, I'm also glad that we once again have a joint road to effort. I think it's really, really cool every year. And as I just said, I'll say it again, by now it's almost a tradition, and we're carrying it on with the old podcast veterans of the wastewater industry. I am very happy. Philip Eisenmann here, for those who don't know me, project manager of IFAT. And we have not even, well, just under 100 days until IFAT. So now it's getting serious. Now it's getting exciting. And now the nerves are kicking in.
Even closer. So you guys are even more on edge. And of course, we're also really looking forward to it. We've prepared a lot, and today we just want to take the chance to interview you a bit, tease out what people can expect. So let's jump right in. Sasha.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I hope it's okay to say this, but we're still in winter. And we just talked about how people can be in a good mood even in winter, and when there's snow, you can be more motivated than when it's all slushy and gray. But do you really have the chance to prepare your IFAT in a nice ski workshop like that? Or how do you go about it?
Yeah, of course. Actually, last week we treated ourselves to Friday off and most of the team went skiing together. We went to the Tyrolean Alps and of course in the gondolas, and while skiing, we talked a lot about IFAT and used every break just to think about how IFAT could be even better. So that's part of it too. And we make use of that as well. That's the nice thing, of course, and I think we were able to recharge our batteries a bit together as a team. So it was a great trip.
All right, then just take us along with you. What exactly is IFAT? I mean, sure, the old hands already know what IFAT is, but we also need to include everyone who might be new to the industry who are going for the first time. What is IFAT? Why is everyone talking about it? Why is everyone so excited about it? Tell us what you would say to a five-year-old. Like, if you typed into Google Maps, Google, no, ChatGPT, Eli, explain it like I'm five, and take us along.
Yeah, the IFAT, it's the biggest trade fair, and as you said earlier, the biggest meeting point, an international family reunion for the entire environmental technology sector. So everything to do with water, wastewater, drinking water, but of course also recycling and the circular economy. And it's the biggest event, the largest trade fair worldwide. And it's also been around the longest because we're celebrating 60 years of IFAT. So that's an incredible number. And exhibitors come from all over the world, exhibitors from 60 countries. And last time we had over visitors from 170 countries. So you can really say people from all over the world come. They come here to Munich. They fill up the packed exhibition halls, 18 halls, outdoor areas, and companies bring their latest technologies. And what I always find most fascinating is when the companies at the booths come up with new solutions again, because we have so many challenges in the field of the environment, in water infrastructure globally, but also here in Germany. And I find that fascinating every single time. And I've been doing this job for a while now. I've been at IF, or rather at Messe Mönchen, for 15 years, and 13 of those with IFAT. And when I look back a bit at how the whole industry has developed, I feel a bit proud that we could be part of it, and that we can help raise the importance of these topics to a new level. And it's always exciting to see what new topics come up. And that's part of it too, a lot of familiar things. But of course, we also have many new things and new topics and that are presented at the fair. And it's just fun and it's great. 4 days of really packed halls, you know, and afterwards we're all exhausted. That's part of it too, but it shows that it was a success and that a lot was going on.
Okay, now you've told us a bit about what IFAT is. You just said that you all went skiing. How many buses went there? So how many people work on IFAT?
Actually, one bus was enough and we didn't even fill it ourselves. We were just part of the SciLab group. So there are 12 of us here, 12 people in the core team who organize IFAT, covering the halls, making sure you have a great booth, our program, the various political stakeholders who come and all the technical aspects. That's the core team that takes care of everything from visitors to exhibitors. And of course, we also have an extended team, marketing, press. That's also about, I'd say, roughly 10 people who really stay on it consistently from one IFAT to the next. And then the closer we get to an IFAT, the more we call them cross-functional departments, cross-functional teams from the technical side get involved. In the halls, of course, we have colleagues who take care of all the connections and handle media and catalog topics. And you can really see at the end how many people are involved, because on the last day we have a closing party. And when you see about 120 people on the distribution list, from management all the way down to the project teams, it's just amazing to think about how many people are working on this. But all the gears have to mesh together. We work for 2 years towards these 4 days, and so do all the exhibitors and visitors, and everything has to work. And that's when you need over 100 people, and that's really spectacular.
So can you really say, as an event manager, let's call it that, like we said before, now you have an event every 2 years, and then do you actually get a nice break, some peace, or is it really like right after IFAT, you have to start all over again? And of course, we should also mention from the 4th to the 7th of May this year. So for everyone listening to the first podcast and thinking, do I still want to take part? There are still plenty of tickets available. But are you then immediately preparing for the next event, or how should we picture that?
Yeah, well, of course, we all take a breather afterwards. I mean, I'm no exception. We're all really exhausted after those days. And then we do need a few weeks, which is good to clear our heads, reset everything. But actually, it's like this. After IFAT is before IFAT, so it really starts up again in the summer, because in the fall, the new cycle begins. So about a year and a half before the next trade fair starts, as you know, and of course, the exhibitors want to start preparing again by then. So it's really amazing how much preparation it actually takes. And the topics keep getting bigger, more extensive. So we're definitely being challenged more and more. Things have really changed over the past few years. The classic trade fair business, you know it too, since you're often at events, there are more and more topics, more and more programs that need to be included. New topics have to be screened. Of course, we always keep an eye on things, and we always evaluate a trade fair and ask, okay, what are the trends? What do people want to see? What might be new topics? So we really pay close attention to the feedback. Maybe that's a little insider tip and nudge. If, as a visitor, the nice colleagues approach you to take part in a survey, or as an exhibitor, you get handed a form or receive an email, please give us your feedback. So we really do look at that. We sometimes get Excel lists with hundreds of comments, and of course, we analyze all of that, and it's extremely, extremely important to us. So yes, that's what happens afterwards. And all of that feeds into this huge, huge process, because of course, all these things, exhibitors and visitors who come, everything has to be prepared. And that's why we're now focusing on May of this year, and it's going to be a fantastic anniversary event. I'm absolutely sure it's going to be great.
So you see, Philip, actually, you might not notice it yet, but he already has dark circles under his eyes because he can barely sleep anymore. He's really giving it his all with his team until the 4th of May, when it all kicks off, and he's planning a great event for us with his 12 colleagues directly. And I have
a direct question, Klaus.
Yeah, go ahead.
Philip, you said, okay, the last 100 days or so, and then it all starts. And you just said, after IFAT is before IFAT. And everyone who's ever worked in project business knows that at the end of a project, things get especially stressful. Are you already feeling that now? Or when does the real stress of this project, when does that start for you?
Well, it actually comes in waves a bit. there are always these exciting moments, or Okatsu's, like after the summer break, that's always a moment, like in September when everyone comes back from vacation. Usually that's when the exhibitors get all their offers, and then I'd say that's when the realization hits, oh right, IFAT is next year, and then it always gets a bit more stressful, and then especially around the turn of the year, because emotionally we feel like we have to get everything started before the year ends, and then in the new year, whatever we didn't manage, we push forward now. So I'd say January and December are always super intense too, and then I'd say you can catch your breath just a little bit because you're in this in-between phase, and then I'd say the last 6 to 8 weeks, it's almost a bit like autopilot. So at that point, everything has to work. All the systems need to be running. For example, yesterday our event database went live, meaning our conference program. So now everyone can check and see, hey, what do we actually have on all these stages and areas that are available? What's going on there? What's actually happening? The exhibitors were published last year already, so everyone can take a look. Hey, where are all the companies now? So those are always moments where there's a little peak again, and the closer it gets to the trade fair, the more intense it becomes, and then all the gears start turning, and hopefully everything works as planned, but there will always be small and bigger fires to put out. That's just part of it. But that's exactly why we love this job, when those last minute things pop up, and now it's really ramping up, but right now it's already, you know, getting intense again.
Yeah, maybe we should just start a bit from the beginning. You're all excited now. We've basically stirred you up, and you're here for the very first podcast for Road to EFAT. Road to EFAT, what exactly is that? We're from the Abusa Talk podcast. Maybe you've never listened to one of our podcasts before. There are already 130 episodes. Abusa Talk, that's Sasha, Daniel, and me, Klaus. Feel free to Google us to find out who we are. You can find us on all the social media platforms. Feel free to follow us there. And we do this Road to IFAT series to, get you excited for the trade fair. What can you expect there? Today, we want to walk you through it a bit. How can you prepare for the fair? What's important for you? Where do you maybe want to go? How can you best plan your tour? How many days should you set aside? Can you still find a hotel room? A bit of a running joke, right? I think it's starting to get tricky now, but maybe you can camp there, and I have an insider tip about that later. Which we'll discuss today with Philip, so he can give you an overview and so on. Maybe about the wastewater talk itself? IFAT has a lot of exhibition halls. If you like what you hear today, or in the next episodes, feel free to come visit us. This time we've set it up so that in Hall B, we've actually carved out a small section of the Unitechnic booth just for the podcast. So Daniel, Sasha, and I will be there for you. You'll find it there as a kind of meet and greet area. That will be in Hall B. So if you like what we're doing here, stop by and check it out. Otherwise, make sure to follow us on social media if you're listening today. I think that's interesting. So maybe open up your Instagram. You can find us there, or the IFAT Trade Fair, or Abusa Talk, or the Unterwasa Talk podcast. Philip, how is the Instagram presence of the trade fair?
IFAT Worldwide, so.
Please click now. Now the follower numbers have skyrocketed, and we'll be releasing this episode. So if you're listening now, maybe you're even listening to it in English. We'll translate it into English again, just like we did last time. Maybe you're listening to us in English, even though we're recording this in German right now. That's also just crazy. Yeah, so let's just go through it. I've jotted down a few things here that I'm especially interested in right now. I tried to put myself in the shoes of how my first IFAT was. I'm kind of wondering, what topics can you actually find at IFAT? You always have these focus topics, right? Philip, why don't you take us along? What are this year's main focus topics you have? And maybe as a podcast, we've tried to make an episode for you on each of these focus topics. So stay tuned. Starting today, every Tuesday, there will be an episode on one of these focus topics, and Philip will guide us through what you can expect. So tell us, what are the focus topics? What's especially important?
Exactly. We always put a lot of thought into it and look at what the key topics are. Of course, there are also many things that just keep coming up because they're simply part of the industry. One thing that will definitely be a central topic, especially for the wastewater sector looking ahead, so we've deliberately called it future wastewater treatment, is the whole question, what new requirements are coming up for all these topics for wastewater like phosphorus recovery and what's happening with PFAS? So for all the experts here on the podcast, I don't need to tell you anything new, but these are the kinds of things we deal with on stage in different forums, digitalization will be a major, major topic. Another big topic will be water management, including how the infrastructure is handled. And that's also a big topic for you. How can we bring the infrastructure up to date again? What will happen in the coming years for all the users and all the operators? And of course, the topic of climate change. So also the resilience of the entire infrastructure, that too will keep many people busy in the coming years and decades. And there too, we will have a lot of content on stage, as I just mentioned. So a program that will get a lot of attention and space, that we do that through various measures. So together with partners like DWA and DVGW, for example, we've created a spotlight area that focuses on the topic of the future of water in the city. That means, what will the whole topic of water resilient urban development actually look like in the future? And we have the topic, we have solution tours, which I think is a really great format, and I always highly recommend it, especially if you're new to the trade fair. That means, together with our partners, we organize tours that visitors can sign up for at a cost. And there, over four or five stations with a short introduction, you get handed key topics. Exhibitors are visited, for example, on the topic of analysis methods in water treatment. So I think these are all really great opportunities to get a very good introduction. And those are the main focus areas where, especially in the water sector, I think you can discover a lot of new things. And of course, a lot is happening at the exhibition booths, where many exhibitors present new technologies and also new topics. But I would say these are the main content areas we'll be discussing. At the same time, we always notice that every trade fair has its own dynamic. And then there are also a few topics that come up over the 4 days, which we might not even have on our radar. I always find it interesting how that kind of dynamic happens at a trade fair. Suddenly you have this trade fair talk going on. Did you talk about that topic? Did you see that topic? There was an interesting presentation there. What did the wastewater talk say at their podcast booth? So yeah, those are really 4 days where a lot happens.
Hopefully everyone will be talking about what's new at the Abwasser talk booth. That's definitely for sure. I'm also curious, you just threw out those topics where you'd say, for us, it's totally obvious, you have to cover them and everyone's talking about them. But how do we actually come up with these topics? So who actually tells you that these are the topics that are really moving people in the industry right now?
All of you. I mean, especially all our associations and partners are, of course, a really, really important knowledge partner here, like the DWA, DVGW, but also other associations and partners who help us a lot, and also the feedback. So again, really, we're always looking for new topics. We always take a close look at the feedback we get from exhibitors and what new topics are coming up. But of course, we also keep our eyes and ears open, attend other conferences and association meetings, and see what's happening elsewhere. So we really try to stay very close to the industry, to have our finger on the pulse and see what the most important and interesting topics are, even internationally. That's really important too. What's happening globally in many places, because often there are different topics there as well. And that's what IFAT stands for. We are the world's leading trade fair. We want to cover local topics, of course, but we also want to address international issues. And that's, of course, it's also very, very important not to miss the trend and to see what's being discussed in the industry. Reading and listening to media, that's also part of it nowadays. And that's how, working together, the main topics are set about a year in advance, you could say.
Daniel, you had an insider tip. Go ahead and share it with us.
But first, I have another question. I found those tours really interesting. Philip, could you explain how to sign up for them? And then I have a second question. You guys have always had the app in recent years, right? When will it go live again? That's another question, because I thought it was really, really cool as a navigator, or I just really like it. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, the app is actually really important for the tours, because you can only register for a tour through the app. The app goes live about 6 weeks at the latest before the trade fair goes live, and then you can basically join the tours through the app, and you really have to be quick about it. We have a kind of traffic light system for that. Last time, all the tours were fully booked. But you can also join a tour at short notice. We usually get a cancellation or two, so you can still sign up, but it's always important to book your spot. And the tours are spread out over the whole week. So from Monday to Thursday, we also have tours that are recurring. And usually it starts with an impulse, with a talk at one of the booths or on one of the stages. And then you go through different stations. There's also a guide who leads the group with a headset through the exhibition halls and shares a bit about the topics. And the exhibitors can also present their input and contribution to the respective topic that's being discussed.
You just mentioned the insider. So thanks, Philip, first of all, for the insider. You know, that's actually, I think Klaus mentioned that about the overnight stays. Philip, how's that looking for you guys this year? Overnight stays, are you still offering campsites or tent spots at your place? I think tents, no, but camping with RV spots, basically.
Exactly, Vak. So clear recommendation. Anyone who wants to come to IFAT, first thing, check for hotel rooms and book as quickly as possible to still get decent prices. And yes, we'll have a camping area again and even an expanded one. So we'll have 200 spots available every day, which is for camping. And we're actually adding a bit more on top because last time we were fully booked. We actually had all the spots booked out for the whole week, and you said it right. You have to bring your own camper, motorhome, camper van. Anything you can sleep in is allowed. And we'll have sanitary facilities there again as well. We'll have a small tent where you can get something to eat and meet up with others. So I think this might be a bit of a hidden gem during IFAT where people can get together after the trade fair ends and maybe have a beer. So I think it's going to be really cool. And the big advantage is you're right next to the exhibition center on one of the open areas right by the east entrance, so you really can't stay any closer to the fair. And we're also offering a combo package, so you can get a cheaper entry ticket, our day and night ticket. So for €129, you get a night stay, the ticket, including public transport and the parking spot. And I think that's a good offer. So you have an alternative if you say you don't want to treat yourself to a hotel. But I also know a lot of people who now say, like, I don't care. I just want to be out on the campsite. The atmosphere was just so cool. I really like how that's developed there, and I'm curious to see how it goes. I
can only agree with that. You were only agreeing? We used it last time, the three of us as well. We went camping for the first time ever in my life. So I rented a camper van for a week, and then Sasha, Daniel, and I, of course, slept in it. It was really great. I mean, I already knew about it from before. We always have a hotel room, and this time we had one again out in New Farren. That's pretty close. In the mornings, you could still drive into the fair pretty easily by car, I'd say. But you have to drive half an hour, and you know how it is at the fair. You're at the booth in the evening, you've had two beers, so who's going to drive now? And that was sometimes the problem and all that. I have to say, it was totally relaxed. So get up in the morning, have some coffee, walk over to the booth, totally relaxed. That always worked well last time, and that's why this time we already rented three parking spots. One camper van is coming down from the north. Daniel, you'll need to squeeze in with Alex and Christoph. Then they're coming down from the north, and two are coming over from Stuttgart. And of course, we've got a grill with us again since, you know, after the fair and all. And maybe we can mention that here too. Of course, this time we also have our own beer from the Abwasser Talk podcast with our logo on it. So if anyone wants to try it, it's from one of the trendiest breweries in Munich. I don't even know, Philipp, with Gissingerbrau, if you order 1,000 bottles, you can get your own logo on them. We treated ourselves to that this time. So if you've ever wanted to own a bottle of Abwasser Talk, you can come by either after the fair at the campsite or at our meet and greet area and pick up a bottle. We have 1,000 bottles there. So we're hoping that
they won't all be gone on the very first night. We still have to manage that too.
But in Munich, there are also places where you can get more supplies. The IFAT might send us to the booth. You can book that there. Yeah, but important. First, take care of your accommodation. That's enough. So anyone trying to do this trade fair in one day has basically already lost. That's a rookie mistake. Philip, how many halls do we have at the IFA? Tell me, how big is it roughly? You said there are 3,200 exhibitors. How long does it take to walk through everything once?
That's a very, very good question. So we have a total of 18 exhibition halls, basically all the halls we have at Messe München. We've also occupied a large part of the outdoor area. Let me put it this way. As you already said, you can't do it all in one day, especially if you have several topics you want to dive into and want to catch a lot of the program, which I really highly recommend to everyone because we have a lot of really cool content on the stages. So you should really take your time So 2 days with 3 days, you've seen everything, but 2 days with one overnight stay, I can really highly recommend that to everyone. And that's also the nice thing about trade fairs, that you don't have to schedule every minute, because there will be enough appointments, conference programs, a session here, a meeting there. I really recommend, especially for those coming to the fair for the first time, to just have an hour with no appointments and simply walk around the fair, just look around, and not, speaking from my own experience, not just go on autopilot from one meeting to the next, from one booth to another, because you might discover things you didn't even have on your radar. And that's what makes a fair special, that you might just bump into someone, make a contact, have a conversation where you think, wow, I really didn't expect that. Those are actually the cool and wonderful moments when you say, that's why I go to a fair, to maybe find something I wasn't even looking for.
Okay, so evening events, Sasha.
But do you also have, since we said camping was added last time and it worked well, do you already have something that could excite people now, something completely new, where you say, do you want to try something out, or are you sticking with tried and true things?
Well, of course, we have many formats that we've tried out and that have become well established, like the tours, our spotlight area. And maybe I can give you a little sneak peek here. We're celebrating 60 years of IFAT, so you'll see 60 years of IFAT in many places. Of course, we've also treated ourselves to a special logo. So my advice to everyone is maybe stay until Thursday. There might be something coming up that's worth it. You know, maybe a reason to stick around the fairgrounds a bit longer in the evening. I don't want to spoil too much, but I think until Thursday.
That's a huge, huge reveal right now, seriously, because most people probably aren't planning to come on Thursday since there's no Friday this time. You're dropping that something awesome is happening Thursday night? Maybe
more like
Wednesday. So we have to come on Thursday. Well,
I'll put it this way. Maybe Wednesday evening isn't so uninteresting either. And then maybe you should also plan for Thursday to experience something at the expo.
So we'll definitely be there until Friday, because we might have to pack up on Friday as well. But now I'm already curious. Oh my God, when I always tell everyone Thursday night is the end, now it's completely different. Well, that's fine.
So Thursday night is the end, and I'd keep an eye on Wednesday evening.
Okay, good.
But maybe you can walk us through again, for the older ones, or rather for those listening who have been there more often, how you came to the decision to go from 5 to 4 days. That's also the first time, right? Or was IFAT ever just 3 days back then? I don't know how it started. Did it start with 3 days, then go to 5, and now we're going back down to 4? Or what's the history there? Fill us in.
IFAT actually went even further. I didn't experience it myself. Way, way back, even Saturday was part of IFAT. It actually went until Saturday. Yes, exactly. Now, for the first time, we're down to 4 days. We've compressed it, actually also based on feedback. So we noticed, and it wasn't a secret, that Friday was always a bit of a tricky day. IFAT has a certain rhythm, and sometimes it falls right before holidays. And I think everyone can imagine, when you're at conferences and trade fairs, that Friday might just be used for other things nowadays. And we got feedback from a lot of exhibitors that, wow, the first 4 days were great, and the fifth day was somehow difficult, sir. And we've really looked at this closely over many years and kept trying. And in the end, you have to be honest and say, okay, 4 really good full days where everyone is satisfied, where everyone can put in their energy, and then come on, let's just drop Friday. We've talked to many people who said, yeah, on Friday, we're just standing around with nothing to do. And that's why a lot of people thought this was a good idea. So now we're going to try it out. I think, honestly, it's more efficient. And we also see that people can get done what they need in 4 days. And now, for the first time, we're making it compact. 4 days from Monday at 9 a.m. When the doors open until Thursday evening at 6 p.m. We can already see it. There's a full program. The halls are packed. So I think I'd rather have 4 really full days, and then everyone has Friday off and can relax in peace. And you can also pack up earlier and get home sooner.
Yeah, we're curious. So we're really interested to see how things go this time. In any case, the days are already fully planned out again, and the preparations are starting. So, as I said, we'll be focusing on the main topics over the next few weeks. Now, we're saying we've planned our accommodation, at least one, and made sure to do it in time, either at the campsite or a hotel room, or maybe you have friends in Munich who live there, then you can stay with them, check in with them, or just enjoy visiting them again. Maybe everyone knows someone in the area. Or if you're fans of our podcast, last time we also asked for people to get in touch with us. Maybe we still have a spot free in our camper van. If you can put up with Daniel snoring, no problem. Daniel, did you snore? I don't even remember who was snoring. Whatever. So feel free to reach out to us as well. Maybe we've still got a spot open with us. It might actually be pretty interesting, like, to get in touch with us. So then you got your plan written down. Three, fixed appointments every day, maybe. The rest is flexible. Where's the best place to have lunch at the trade fair?
At your booth or?
No idea. I don't know. That's always the question. Where do you have lunch? Where do you have dinner? And the evening event still needs to be planned. For me, a real highlight is always the association evening on Tuesday, the Bavarian Tuesday evening. It's the Bavarian evening again. Of course, we'll be there again. And I'm already looking forward to it again. And then somehow every evening has something great to offer. That means pick your favorite booth at the trade fair. Many have a booth party, for example, which is always something great. When the fair closes at 6 p.m., then many booths have their party that day. So if you're a fan of, I don't know, Unitechnic, Nivus, whatever companies there are, then get in touch with your company's sales rep and ask, when is your party? What's special about it? As I said, that's always maybe something to plan together with your overnight stay. That's also always something really great. Maybe for those who haven't been to IFAT yet, that's also something to recommend. Yeah. And then, yeah.
And then starting this year, there's the new Klaus after the booth party. The booth parties always go until 10 p.m. And after that, you have to come to the campsite. That's when the après ski tent opens up at the après ski tents. But what actually happens there? Is it like Mallorca at that time, or what kind of music do they play?
May, it's almost warm again by then. So in any case, we might still have a bratwurst or two with us or something. Let's see, do we have a fridge on the camper and all that? In any case, we've got everything with us. Yeah, otherwise, yeah, Philip.
But during the day, I can really recommend something I always like to do is to schedule appointments in our beer garden, because we have an atrium and there's a beer garden there. And of course, you're in the exhibition hall all day breathing that air, and that can be exhausting. So if you wanted to put a quiet spot and maybe to sit in the sun for a bit, and we've planned for sun 5 days before, 5 days after, and during the fair, then head to the beer garden. We have really nice beer gardens in the east and west in the atrium where you can sit and just, yeah, that's...
Between the halls.
In the outdoor area.
So you can also just sit outside. There are always lots of people out there. You can definitely take advantage of that. Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't know, Philip, if this is really good for you, but usually you always have your... Even if you use the stand party, DWA also offers that, for example, tickets. You can also ask around, see who might help you to get a trade fair ticket. I always say you're a beginner if you buy it directly from IFAT. Sorry, Philip. But many manufacturers also provide them, or the DWA can help as well. In a roundabout way, they're happy to cover the entrance fees, so to speak. And that's something you could also consider, for example. Otherwise, we've covered the main topics. What can we expect? We definitely have a few. So the topic of odor, we'd be a bit out of our depth if we tackled that. We have the topic of trace substances because the new Kalia exists. We'll cover that. We'll hopefully invite Marcel Knecht if he finds the time. He'll tell us how he plans his trade fair as a wastewater manager in Bavaria. And we'll have many other guests as well. We also want to invite someone from the DWA. All of this is currently being planned for the next few weeks. And you can look forward to seeing one or another topic. Daniel, what are you most interested in? That's something I'd be curious about. Where are you most involved right now?
What interests me about the topics, what Philip mentioned. So on the one hand, phosphorus recovery. Let's see if there's anything about that in the halls. Then what also interests me is the fourth treatment stage, the classics. And what I also found quite interesting earlier, I don't think it's really been discussed here yet, is rainwater management and rainwater systems, like the large scale plants that have been certified according to DWA 102. I want to see what those plants actually look like. IFAT is just huge, the halls are massive, and there are these gigantic machines, which is awesome compared to smaller trade fairs. I mean, the manufacturers, the plant builders, they spare no expense or effort and set up these big systems, and I want to see those. Especially now, I still remember, I think it was 2016 when I was there for the first time and I walked into this one hall and Huber was there and I was like, what the heck? So you really got to see everything live and it was just so impressive, honestly. And you can talk to anyone there. They'll explain things to you, especially if you're new to the field, a young engineer or a new operator. So all kinds of people are included by the staff at the booths. It's really cool.
Exactly. And you shouldn't forget, of course, that it's not just about wastewater, even if that's the main topic. There are lots of other subjects being promoted and you can really broaden your horizons there. But what would you say is the biggest topic? Is it still water and wastewater, or has waste and recycling become just as big?
Exactly. I'd say by now it's pretty much 50-50. You can really see that on the grounds. You could almost draw a clear line through the exhibition area. One half is all about drinking water, wastewater, everything related to that. And the other side is recycling, circular economy, waste management, and all those topics. But the great thing is what we see now is that there are so many points and topics that actually overlap. So you can't really separate them anymore because we have so many topics that play a role in both waste and circular economy, but also come up again in wastewater and drinking water. So we have a lot of synergies, and that's the nice thing, that you can see these topics as well. And maybe, Daniel, since you mentioned it, maybe just a little tip, especially if you're new to IFAT, something that I always find is a little highlight, especially when you're trying to find your way around a trade fair and want to meet new people. We have a huge startup area again this year in Hall C. There are over 50 national and international startups, and it's really impressive every year to see the kind of energy there. There are lots of young companies who want to bring their new products and businesses to the market. There's a stage, sometimes a drink or two in the evening, so you might want to plan your Monday at the startup area, and I just love that energy. And if you ever need a place to start, as a newcomer to IFAT, I think it's a great way to get a first impression and easily connect with lots of people.
So to sum up, it's really made me want to go to IFAT again. And if you've been there before, you start thinking, hey, I want to go back. It was always exciting. You never really get tired of it. It's not like, oh, I was there last time, but now it's finally happening again. I can go, I can head over and catch up with people again. Of course, I'll also check out some of the conferences so you can see a topic presented properly, and I'll visit your website to plan where to go specifically. That's important to get some information in advance. We've also sorted out everything else, like how to get there and when it's happening. Would you like to do a bit more promotion now? Maybe highlight what's especially important? Or are you, like us, just excited for it to finally start?
Yeah, I'm just excited now. 100 days to go. Sure, we still have a lot to prepare, but honestly, I'm just looking forward to when it all begins. That's really how it is. When it's an IFAT year, you get that tingling feeling and you just want it to finally be May. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to going on this exciting journey with all of you. And that's becoming more and more important too. What happens on the way to IFAT? That's why I'm excited. And if anyone has questions, just reach out to us. Ask if you have any topics. We're always happy to help, so don't hesitate at all.
Now, there's still a burning question. What's your mascot called again? It's that green thing, or do you have a new one?
Well, there are always a lot of mascots walking around from many different exhibitors. But actually, we don't have a mascot ourselves. Those are usually from the companies or partners, and that's where the mascots come from. But we could think about it. Maybe one day we'll create a new mascot. One that somehow represents all the topics.
The IFATchen or IFATchen.
I think that's
nice. We could think about it again or ask ChatGPT again. So, Philip, thank you for taking the time for us and for all the listeners here. We'll also translate this into English again so you can listen to yourself in English too. Everyone, even if you're listening in German or in English, try listening to it in German afterwards. It's the same conversation, just translated by AI. We did the same thing last time too. I hope it works well again this year. Of course, we'd be interested in your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Come by our booth, grab a beer with us, have a drink together. If you don't drink beer, we've got water or maybe some sparkling wine in the fridge. If you want a glass, just stop by and join our meet and greet. Sasha, Daniel, and I will be there all week. Get the IFAT app, follow us on social media, comment, like, and subscribe for the algorithm. You know, the stuff you always hear on YouTube. I'm just really looking forward to it. So let's go. Daniel, last question. I have
one last question for the group, and Philip has to answer it last. Of course, I don't have to answer it since I'm the one asking. That's good. What would you... We had this question last time too, but then it was just for Philip, and Philip might know what's coming now. If you could place a poster at the entrance of IFAT where everyone walks in, what would it say? Sasha?
Abwasser Talk is coming to visit us.
Yeah, I'd also have a huge poster in Hall B, meet and greet, and then a beer in hand. You, Sasha, and I with a beer in hand, and come on by. I mean, if you have the chance to put the poster there... Philip, now it's your turn to say something.
Well, since you already did the promo for your Abwasser Talk, I think my message to everyone coming would be, have a great time with us.
The final word?
Thank you.
Philip, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
To you all. Sasha, do you have any final words? Sasha?
Thanks to the wastewater heroes, men and women, for putting up with us again. And Klaus gets the very last word.
Pontere, folks, water always flows downhill. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.